Hello from Zach and Laura and Marriage Therapy Radio. It is that time of year. It's summertime. Everybody's getting married. Got lots of couples coming into my practice wanting to hear about premarital therapy. I actually just had a couple leave, like a couple minutes ago. I can tell you the best thing they did was set their next appointment for after the wedding. I don't really believe in premarital therapy. I think I say that on the podcast. But I do believe in transition to marriage and that you ought to have a plan. So Laura and I are going to talk about that for a little bit. Stick around.
Hello.
What's happening?
So I just had to tell you, I'm really excited because I just got done. Ryan did something very much like what you have described in the past. He went on to this special app and he found a last minute deal to a five-star hotel. And we are going to be having a little staycation in Park City. And the reason why we're doing this is because Holden's going to have his very first sleepover. We were just talking how Mary, your youngest, hasn't been home at all, right?
No, no. So, right. So Abby had surgery and has been kind of taking over the house with her needs and her just kind of variable
discomfort,
places to be and noises to make and not sleeping well. So Mary she's arranged for herself, I think, 6 sleepovers in the last 7 nights where she just
amazing.
She's just like, I'm going to go over there and see you later.
Yeah. So that's good.
I wake up and I'm not sure where she is. I'm like, who has Mary today?
Well, we're going to be staying up in Park City at, gosh, what is it called? I don't know, some fancy schmancy hotel, but we found it on a discount. It's literally like, if we were to stay at that hotel in the dead of winter in Park City, it would literally be about $1,000 a night. And I will tell you, we're definitely not paying that amount of money, but Holden's going to have his very first sleepover, and it's a sleepover trade so that then the other family can. Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
I'm learning these things. I'm kind of curious, like, what else am I going to learn about as just how to be a better parent and avoid my child and reap the benefits of how to avoid your child. Tips from Mom with Rosé.
Yeah, right on.
What if there was an easy way to achieve connection without having to do a ton of work? And what if you could make just a few small changes that helped you feel more alive, awake, and aware? Well, we're convinced that there is, and that you can, because we have worked with hundreds of couples. We've pored over reams of research. We've even experienced change in our own marriages. And time again, if we have learned anything, it's this. You do not have to stay stuck. That is why we created Marriage in Motion. It's a video series for couples, 16 videos with corresponding activity sheets, because we want for you to take the information and the research that we have pored over and put it into action in your own relationship. Marriage for Motion is available now. Go to forbetter.us, and for less than $300, you get the entire video series for a lifetime. We also have a guarantee that if you don't experience small changes in your relationship that have a big impact, we'll give you your money back. Check it out at forbetter.us. We'd love for you to try the Marriage in Motion video series for couples. So here, we're just going to jump into it because we don't have a ton of time, but I did want to talk about premaritals, mostly because we are entering into wedding season and I have not been invited to a wedding in a very long time. I think that you hit a point where you go to a zillion weddings every summer and then you kind of age out of it. So I've aged out.
And then you age back in when your kids start getting married.
Oh,
your kids' friends start getting married.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, it's a nice place.
Yeah, and I've had a ton of couples come in. They always come in, you know, May, June, and they're like, we're getting married in a month and we thought it would be a good idea to have marriage therapy or premarital therapy. And I'm like, okay.
Makes my skin crawl, by the way, when couples come in. Yeah.
I'm like, why do you think that? Well, somebody said it was a good idea. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you want to work on? Well, we just don't know what we don't know. Okay.
All right.
I'm just like, so what's your best, what's your best stuff? Like, what's your best stuff for premarits that come in like that?
Well, I mean, number one, don't come in like that. Do your premarital work. Like, I would rather have the premaritals. Have you come in and say, gosh, you know, I just don't know if this is the person I want to commit to by getting engaged. So let's go through it now. Because what happens is I have couples that come in and they don't realize that one of the questions in their mind of what they want to learn from the therapist is, should we or should we not get married? And I'm staring down like dress fittings in the next 3 weeks, right?
Right. Like, So I usually say something like, so are you 100% getting married? You're definitely getting married? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, when? July 20th. I go, then it doesn't matter what we do.
Yeah.
Like, this is not helpful.
If the question is, should we or should we not? Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, because I mean, I'm not going to change anything between now and July 20th.
Yeah.
What I generally say, and this is what I've been doing lately with premarriage, is I make them commit to a year.
Ooh.
With me. So I don't make them, but I offer them a discount if they pay in advance for 12 sessions over 12 months. And smart. Because that gets them in it. And I tell them to,
which by the way, is a great gift, listeners. Cause I know most of our listeners are, probably have children. So if you want to buy Zach or myself for your children, if they're getting ready to get married, that's a brilliant idea. Go on.
Well, one of them, I mean, they usually say somebody told us we should do this. And I'm like, well, whoever that is, you should ask them if they will help you fund it, because they obviously care. They're invested in that way. And not as a punishment, but like if they have this idea that it's going to be helpful and you can get locked in. The other thing is, I say you ought to have a therapist in the same way that you ought to have a dentist or a financial advisor or a handyman.
Right.
Like it should just be somebody that you feel like you can call when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my, that's generally my opening salvo with couples that come in with premarital questions, particularly if that doesn't include, should we get married?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you this question. People who love a couple and they're getting ready to get married, and let's pretend like this is the young, never married couple. Why do you recommend that they go see somebody for premarital? What is it that in your mind, as the person who loves this couple, why is it that you think this, they need to go see somebody? Is it because
are you asking me to role play? No, or are you,
no, what? I'm genuinely curious, why you think people recommend that others go see a premarital therapist. Is it because there's already, signs that this relationship is doomed, or is it because it's just a good idea to, you don't know what you don't know, or is it that they, a therapist might say, I don't know if this is actually what you want to be doing right now. You seem like you're really rushing into this. This might not be the best partner. I'm just curious what you think the expectation is of why a young couple needs to see a premarital therapist.
What I, Zach, think?
Yeah.
Or what I, the hypothetical recommender, thinks?
What you, the hypothetical recommender.
I think if I'm doing that, it's because I'm lazy. It's because I'm saying, rather than me spend time kind of mentoring or coaching or being available for you, I think you ought to outsource it. That's my kind of pessimistic answer.
Well,
I think it is a good idea, but I think it's not very well thought through, right? Like, so here's another thing that I say. I think if you're getting married on July 20th, no matter where you are, what I often want to have the couple be able to articulate to me is, what do you want to be true on July 20th that's not true today?
Okay.
What do you want to be true on July 21st? Or what do you want to be different on July 21st than on July 20th? Like, what can you articulate that you want to make sure that you have some confidence in?
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest complaint about people who get married, young especially, is that they stand up and they say, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. And they don't really know what they're saying, I do too.
Right.
And so part of it is really helping them, understand where, what their yes means, because he's an introvert and she's an extrovert, or he's from the South and she's from, you know, the Northeast, and, or she's from India and he's from, you know, Georgia. I mean, it's, I think it's this whole idea back to kind of perpetual problems and identifying those, but cause we're not going to solve anything, but if I can stand up on July 20th and say, I know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know how it's going to manifest, but I know who this is. And I know a lot about them, and we've argued, and, you know, and we've kind of understood what it means to argue.
Yeah.
Then I think that that's all well and good. And I think you ought to be committed to more therapy after you get married.
So here's something that I thought was really interesting, because it just reminded me a lot of the couples that I see here in Salt Lake, which is a very quick courtship, and which is so different from Seattle. My goodness, my friends in Seattle that are listening, that are mid-30s, 40s, and they're still thinking, ah, you know, I love this person, but I'm not quite ready to get married. The opposite is true here in Salt Lake, where it's like, I think I might be potentially falling in love with you, so we're going to tie the knot after 40 days. And you see that a lot here. But what I heard you say is, I understand my yes and what my yes means. And I love the idea of writing your own vows as just, and you know what, this is actually a really cool exercise that I do, since we had just done the affair. We talked about affairs on our last podcast. What oftentimes I will say is, we're entering now into relationship 2.0. The relationship that you had prior to the affair is done and over, and now we are moving on to a new relationship, is to write new vows to one another. And I often will recommend that couples who are coming to see me, and they've been married for 20 years, but they had this courtship that was very fast, they didn't know their yes or their why. And what it meant to actually say yes at the altar 20 years ago, but now they do, is to rewrite their vows and recommit and understand, what is it that you're saying that I'm saying yes to in this relationship? It can be beautiful. And also, you know, couples that are committing to relationship 2.0 with the same person, what are you saying yes to, and having a deep understanding of that? And it's beautiful. Maybe I'll do that. Have you rewritten your vows? We've talked, you just had 22 years with
your
wife.
We renewed our vows after 10 years. We didn't do it again at 20, but we didn't really rewrite them. We just kind of understood them differently, I think. I think when you have kind of what you were saying too, and about the affairs, what happens is people stand up and they go, I do. And then somebody says, maybe I don't. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you have, and that could be any number of ways that that manifests, but then you have this opportunity to say, I do again, but it's actually more effective because you now know what it means to say no. And so saying yes in the face of no is really different than saying yes in the face of yes.
Yeah.
So,
wow. I also want to push back a little, because you said something, you said, if I'm somebody who deeply loves this couple and I say, you know what, you guys should go see a couples therapist, somebody to do your premarital work, or go see a priest or your pastor, your worship leader, whatever. You said, I think that they're lazy and they're just outsourcing this. I disagree. I think it can be really...
Hold on. I didn't say they were lazy. I said hypothetical me saying that to someone else was lazy.
All right. Fair enough, because you have a lot of answers. But I do think that it's smart to have somebody that is outside of your relationship, that doesn't know you as mom, dad, cousin, uncle.
That's very fair. Yeah.
Whatever it might be, to take a look at your relationship unbiasedly and ask you some really important questions, because I always feel so uncomfortable.
No, that's really fair.
Yeah. Tapping into those boundaries, right?
Yeah.
All right. Good. Well, I just wanted to point
conceded.
Out something.
Conceded.
Okay. So you said that some of the purposes of premarital would be, you know who this person is. I think oftentimes it's setting expectations, really good expectations, that like, look, first 4 years of your marriage, man, it's going to be hard. You are going to hit some really rocky points, and allowing people to understand that it is not all peaches. And peaches, is that what I want to say? Yeah.
Peaches and cream.
Peaches are delicious. Peaches and cream.
Roses.
Not all. Yeah.
Roses and honey.
Yeah. By the way, I made my first key lime pie. It's all condensed sugar, just saying, and condensed milk.
My favorite over the last couple of weeks is trying to get Abby to say words that begin with P or B because she can't put her lips together.
Oh,
I'm like, do you want some pumpkin pie? I don't want any pumpkin pie. You want some potatoes? No potatoes. I'm going to say one more thing for those of you who are kind of churchy, which is, I do think that the model for an effective marriage relationship comes out of Genesis. And if you're not a Bible person, at least hear the verbs, because the verbs are, and don't worry about the genders either, but like the verbs are, a man will leave his mother and father, be united to his spouse, and the two will become one flesh, right? And I do think there's, if you think about the verbs, right, leave, be united, and then become, it really is a pathway towards like, how do you make the transition from being single to being
married and creating your own family culture, right?
Right.
You got to learn how to separate from your parents, especially, but also like kind of your old stories and maybe your old house and maybe your old patterns. And there's a leaving that is really important. And then there's a being united. And I think that's what you do when you kind of stand up in front of people and you say, "Hey, I got your back. You got mine. We're going to be united in this thing." And then the process begins of becoming a third thing or a new family, right? John talks about every marriage is its own unique culture. And that is an ongoing process.
100%. Yeah.
If you can even just wrap your head around, what are you going to do with those three verbs? And have somebody who can help you think through that, whether they're thinking through a Jesus lens or a Christian lens or not. Then it can at least be a place that you can contextualize what the process of transitioning to marriage is. And in fact, I don't even call it premarital counseling. I call it transition to marriage counseling.
Love it.
It really is a transition to a different way of being. Even if you're already living together and sleeping together and spending the same money and you already have a dog or a kid, there's got to be something different about being married or else it's, why bother? And then that's the question I'm generally asking is why bother? Why do this?
The one thing that I do really like is the idea that you have on speed dial, your tax guy, you have on speed dial, your pharmacist, all of these people that you have to outsource the expertise to, and you should have on file your counselor. And that relationship, I would love to have that relationship begin before you get married, so that when things do light up on fire and you experience those inevitable difficulties in the first 4 years of relationships, that you can call them and say, "Okay, we got a fire here and we need you to just put it out for us and help us guide us over the coals." So I think that would be really helpful. And the reason why I'm talking about this is it's summer and this is when most weddings happen. I do want to wrap up because we are going to meet with our podcast interview. So do you have any questions for us specifically about premarital work? The workshop that we do, the 7 principles for making marriage work, is a very cool workshop for premaritals. We actually had 2 remaritals at our last workshop that were coming in that knew each other, which was really neat. And they had actually, they emailed and they said, "After this workshop, now we know, now we have more certainty that this is the right decision to get married," which I thought was really cool. We should have led with that, but oh well. Okay.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks for meeting with me.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Hey, I have an idea. I have been digging into so many amazing books recently, and I've actually joined a few Facebook groups that give me lots of good ideas for new books to read. But I wanted to crowdsource all of you, since we have something in common. We're all interested in making our relationships better today than they were yesterday. So if you have picked up a book or maybe watched a YouTube or a TED Talk, something that impacted you and made you think twice about your relationship, send me an email. I would love to know what that is, and then I will compile a list and send them out to all of you. So if you are on our newsletter, if you receive emails from Zach and Laura, that's amazing. But send us an email, info@4better.us. If you have a book recommendation, I will send it out to the rest of you. Hey, thanks so much for all of your time and attention that you're putting into your relationship, making it better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.